Now we'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome on this very happy occasion to witness the baptism of our dear sister in the Lord, Claire Murdoch. Thank you all for coming. It's nice to see the hall well filled up, and I know there's a number who are online who are watching as well, and we give you all a very warm welcome in the Lord's name. Now we're going to sing as our opening hymn, the first hymn on our sheet here. Sometimes called a modern song, but it was written over 50 years ago, but still the words are timeless. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Now, if it is convenient, maybe we could stand together for our opening hymn.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, nature God blessed, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love, sworn by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid.
Lovely hymn. Thank you very much for singing so well tonight. Again, it's a happy occasion. We're very glad to be here. As I'm looking down in the hall, I can see there's quite a lot of people who have known Claire all her life. And we in the assembly here have had the joy and the privilege of seeing her growing, maturing. We had great joy when she was saved, and now tonight when she's going to obey the Lord in baptism, it gives us a great thrill. So we're so glad to be here, and let's just commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we bow before thee. We thank thee and sing of a truth these words, in Christ alone. We thank thee that he alone is our peace. He alone is the one who went to Calvary and there laid down his life. And he alone it is that makes it possible for us to come together for this occasion tonight. We remember that he said to his disciples on resurrection ground, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." We thank thee for this great promise, and we would claim it tonight. We think it's such a joy and a privilege to be associated with the Saviour. When he went to Calvary, we remember that it is written he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And yet we bless thee that as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. And so we thank thee for this meeting tonight and for all who are saved. We thank thee for Claire's salvation. And we thank thee too for the movements of thy Spirit within our hearts, guiding us to be instructed and to follow the directions and instructions of the Lord. And so we would pray that thou wouldst draw near tonight. Remember James, as he would open thy word and bring us a message. We pray that he might have help in setting forth the scriptures. We pray for each in the meeting. Thou knowest in a meeting like this, there are many needs. And there are those perhaps who are saved and have never yet been baptized. And we pray that they might be challenged tonight as to obey this commandment of our Saviour. And also there could be those who are not saved. And while baptism is an important step, we know that there's a much more important thing, and that is getting the soul saved and coming to Christ for salvation. And so we would look to thee this evening. Draw near, give us a blessed time, and bless thy word as it is ministered to us this evening. Especially remember Claire, we just commit her to thee, and pray as she has taken this step of obedience to publicly declare her faith in the Saviour. We pray that she might have help from this day forward to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Saviour, and grow up to be a fine, strong, young Christian woman with a godly testimony. We would ask thy blessing. And so we just commit ourselves to thee in our Saviour's most precious name. Amen. Now, we've got a second hymn that we're going to sing, and our speaker tonight is James McAllister, and we welcome James. We're very glad to have him with us. He's going to open the Bible and speak to us on the subject of baptism, and so we pray that the Lord will help him tonight as he would speak. Now, our second hymn is hymn number 2, "The Lamb of God for Sinners Died a Victim on the Tree. He gave himself a sacrifice to set the guilty free." And then after this, our brother James will come and speak to us. And I always think we sing an awful lot better when we stand up. So if it's convenient, maybe we could stand again, please.
The Lamb of God for sinners died a victim on the tree. Serving, rising, mercy, love.
Good evening to everyone, a warm welcome, and as Lawrence has said, it is a very happy occasion, and it's a real honour and a privilege for me to be here tonight to speak, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I've known Claire for a few years. I have been her maths teacher, and so the hundreds of times that I've stood up in front of Claire to speak, it's been about trigonometry, or Pythagoras' theorem, or algebra, or something along those lines. And the temptation is great, because those are wonderful things to speak about. But we're here to think and speak about something far more precious, and something far more wonderful than those things could ever be. And so that's why I mean it is a privilege and an honour to be here. Could we read, please, just a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are many people here who could speak and teach the truth of baptism far better than I could. So I hope that what I have to say this evening will just be a simple thing that we all hopefully can take something from. Just a couple of verses at the beginning of this very important chapter. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the believers in Corinth. And you'll see in verse 1, he speaks about the gospel, this message that he had preached to them several years prior to him writing this. What was that message of the gospel? Well, he gives a very clear and concise summary of it. And so if there's someone along this evening, and maybe you're not often in a gospel hall, and maybe you've not thought much about why they're called gospel halls, well, here is a summary of what that word gospel is. And so Paul says in verse number 3, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, by the 12, and then after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. And so we have here in these very few words a summary of God's message for mankind, and it starts with Christ. And then Paul uses four verbs that we notice very clearly and distinctly. Four verbs around which the gospel message revolves. Four doing words associated with the person of Christ. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. He was seen. And those are the verses and the scriptures that I would like just for us to consider briefly this evening. As we contemplate what's going to take place at baptism. Baptisms are wonderful things, precious things, very, very important things. And we trust that everyone here will be impressed by the importance and the weight of the significance of what is going to take place this evening. Maybe you've never observed something like this before. Maybe this is something that is completely novel and new to you. And perhaps it's a little bit strange, this gaping hole in the ground and a tank full of water. And all of the things that are going to take place might seem a little bit bizarre and a little bit strange and obscure. Maybe you've witnessed something like this before, but still it's perhaps a little bit strange. And you wonder at what it means and why we do it. Well, hopefully from these words that we've read and from three or four very simple points that I want to make, hopefully we get an appreciation of why this is taking place. The importance of it, the symbolism of it, the significance of it, and just simply it's taking place because the Lord Jesus Christ requested that it would take place. The first thing I would just like to say very briefly, my first point, in a baptism which we will witness and observe and watch as it unfolds, we are being told a story. So that's the first point that I would like for us to consider, and maybe it's the main point, that as we witness and are privileged, have the honour of observing Claire being baptised, we're watching a story. And when I say a story, I'm not meaning like a story that has been made up, a fictional story, a story that has come from somebody's imagination. But what we're going to see this evening is a story being depicted that is true. A story that is historical. A story that has been recorded. Something that actually took place many years ago. And that story is going to be told again tonight. And it's the greatest story that ever was told. You know, many religions in the world, they'll have some story behind them. They'll have some narrative about what took place with the main person involved in the establishing of the religion. But you know, if you go through all of those other religions and their stories, it turns out that the records are a little bit dodgy, or maybe something is missing and there's conflicting reports. But the story that we're going to consider this evening has multiple records, and they are in complete harmony. And there were many eyewitnesses, and people set pen to paper and recorded these things that took place many years ago. And so we can have confidence that this is a true story. And it's the greatest and most precious of stories. Well, you might ask, the story that we're going to watch unfold, the story that is going to be told in this baptism, what is it? The greatest story that human ears could ever hear, what is it? It's just this little summary that Paul has said. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he was seen. That is the single greatest story that any human being will ever have the privilege of knowing. It amazes me, this story. How it begins, Christ died. You see, Christ is God's Son. Christ is the one in whom is life. Christ is the one who created life in this world. Christ is the one who upholds life. Christ is the one who grants eternal life. And yet this one in whom is life, this story tells us that he died. That's a great story. An amazing thing, a tremendous fact that Christ died, but the story doesn't end there. It goes a little step further and it becomes even more precious. Why? Because it says Christ died for our sins. Is that not what we've been singing about this evening? The great Redeemer left his throne, that radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, grace unknown. Why? To suffer, to bleed, and to die. He took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in his stead for us, for mankind. It's a miracle of grace for man, the Savior, bled. It's the greatest story. It's a story that we're going to see reflected in this baptism, that Christ died. Paul writes elsewhere that Christ died for the ungodly. That's an amazing thing. Christ would die for the wicked, the sinful, and the ungodly. Here we've read that Christ died for our sins. An amazing thing, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But Paul writes elsewhere not only that Christ died for the ungodly, and Christ died for sins, but Paul says elsewhere Christ died for us. And that's why this old, old story that's true is so precious and so great and so incomparable. There's no story like it. That Christ died and his body was taken down from that tree and it was laid in that tomb. But you know, the story goes on further. It would be an amazing story if it was just that Christ died. A tremendous thing. But it gets even better that Christ died for our sins and took our place upon Calvary's tree for us, the ungodly. But it goes even further and it gets even better because not only did Christ die and Christ was buried, but Christ rose again. You see, death has a hold upon every single one of us. And we have absolutely no control over that. We have no say over our death. And once death has us in its clutches, we've no control over coming back. But why is this the greatest story that ever was told? Because Christ rose from the dead. And he proved that he was in control. And he proved that death had no claim upon him. He the Creator. He the Redeemer. He the Savior. He died for our sins. He dealt with our sins. And he dealt with death itself. And up from the grave he arose. The greatest story. You know, I remember hearing about a man. He was walking, this was years ago, walking down the streets of the city of Edinburgh. And he passed by the window of a shop. And in the window of that shop, he saw a painting. A very detailed, intricate painting of this story, Christ hanging upon the cross. This man had gone to Sunday school and he had heard the gospel many times before. And he hadn't thought about these things for many years and he paused there and he looked at the painting and he just was drinking it all in and looking at all of the details. When all of a sudden he realized that there was a little boy standing to his side. And this little boy said to him, "Sir, do you know what's happening in that painting, sir? That man's the Lord Jesus, sir. That's God's son. And you see those men who are standing there, they put him on that tree, sir. They hammered the nails into his hands and feet, and they lifted him up on that tree. That's what's happening in that picture, sir. And you see the lady standing there by the cross, that's Jesus' mother, sir." Can you imagine what it must have been for his mother to stand there and watch her only son, or her firstborn son, dying there upon the cross? But you know what, sir? They treated him like a criminal. They gave him a criminal's death. But he wasn't dying for his own crimes, for he was no criminal, sir. He didn't do anything wrong, sir. He was dying for our sins. And so the boy gave these descriptions, and as I say, the man hadn't thought about these things for many years. And after the boy was done, the man thanked him and he said, "Thank you very much for all of that." And he gave him a coin and he made his way down the street. But just a few moments on his way, he heard the patter of the boy's feet as the boy ran towards him and tugged him by the coat. And he said, "Sir, I almost forgot to tell you. He rose again. Christ died for our sins." And they put the dead body of Jesus Christ into that tomb. But he rose again. And that's why this is the most wonderful, the greatest and most precious of stories that we will ever hear. Because Christ is alive. He's a living Savior. And we're going to see that story being told this evening. dying, burying, and rising. And that is why we see the water in this hole in the earth. Because the person who believes this story, the person who accepts this story is true, the person who claims this man who died for sins as their own Savior, the Bible says, Claire, who's believed this story, Claire, who has accepted this Savior, the Bible says that Claire has died with the Savior, that Claire has been buried with the Savior, and Claire has been raised with the Savior and be given eternal life. The life of Christ is now hers. And so we're going to see that story being told. Christ died and was buried. But hallelujah, what a Savior. He rose again. Up from the grave, he rose again. Were we not singing that? There in the ground his body lay, the light of the world by darkness slain, but then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And so in baptism we see a story. A story being told. And may every one of us, as we, just for the very few short moments that it'll take, as we'll observe it, let us drink in the truth of it afresh, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again. But secondly, I don't only want to think about a story that is being told, a story that is being made known. I want to think about a stand that is being taken. Because you see, the four verbs that Paul uses here are Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again, but there's a fourth one. He was seen. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the tomb, he could have gone straight back to heaven to be with his Father and never told anyone about it. He could have left us where we were, in the dark, without the foggiest idea that he had risen from the tomb. But that fourth word is so important, so key. Christ didn't go about in secret. Christ didn't hide any of these things. But he was seen. That amazes me that the people, there were people who saw and witnessed with their own eyes on a certain afternoon, Jesus Christ dying. Those same eyes, just a few days later, saw this man alive. And he didn't hide. He didn't keep it secret. He didn't back away. But Christ put himself on display and showed and proved that he was alive. And you know, I see something of that in baptism. You know, there are Christians, people who believe this story, but they do keep it secret. They maybe keep it hidden for a while. The Bible talks about believers like that. Disciples secretly. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he was seen. And what we're going to see this evening is someone who has, maybe years before, accepted the truth of the gospel. But now they've made a decision. I'm ready to be seen. I'm ready to make it public. I'm ready to declare to all. I'm ready to take a stand. And that's what we're going to see this evening. We're going to see someone who has trusted Christ as her Savior now taking a stand. And it's not being done with the doors shut. It's not being done in secret. Christ was seen, and now Claire's going to be seen. And she's telling all of us here present, everyone watching, everyone listening, everyone who will hear about this baptism, Claire is acknowledging, I am taking a stand with Christ. Christ died for me. I'm willing to stand with him. You know, in this world, people, they'll say they stand for so many things and they take a stand with something. They stand with Ukraine and then they put on a public show and a proof of their standing. People will say that they stand with a philosophy or an ideology and they'll put it on social media. Hashtag stand with whatever it is. Or they'll stand with a sports team. And so they buy the gear and they go to the matches and they put it for all to see. They take a stand. Well, here it is, the public proclamation, the display, the demonstration of a Christian taking their stand with Jesus Christ. The greatest story. This is the greatest stand. You know, there are so many people who stand up for themselves and who stand up for so many useless things in life. I wonder what you stand for. I know what Claire stands for. And I know who Claire stands with. She stands with Jesus Christ. And that's the best place to stand. You know, I was interested to think about Claire. Your name means light. Did you know that? Light or brightness. That's where we get our word clarity from. The Lord Jesus said, let your light shine before men. If you've got a lamp in your house, you wouldn't put a basket over it. You wouldn't hide it under a box. What would you do with your lamp? You'd put it in the middle of the room. You'd put it on a table. You'd let your light shine brightly so that it lightens the whole room. That's taking a stand. And Claire's light is shining this evening. Let your light shine. The story. The stand. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to take a stand. I think every one of us who's been baptized and has lived for several years as a believer publicly will say that it's not always easy. Sure, it's not. In a wicked world like this, it's not always easy. But I'd like to mention just briefly, thirdly, not only the story and the stand, but just consider the strength. It's not going to be easy, Claire, for you always to live as a Christian, for you always to live in that public demonstration of the fact that you've taken your stand with Christ. But this greatest story and this greatest stand will be supported by the greatest strength. The Lord Jesus Christ won't let you down. If he was strong enough to die for our sins, and if he was strong enough to break the bands of death, he's strong enough to hold us up and to preserve you in your testimony. And to help you as you let your light shine. The greatest story, the greatest stand, the greatest strength that God will give to the believer who decides to live for him. I wonder, are there believers, like Lawrence has said, are there people who are saved here this evening and you haven't yet taken the stand? We would urge you, if you believe that greatest story, you come and take the greatest stand and God will promise you greatest of strengths. But then, finally, I'd just like to close. Maybe that story is something new to you. Maybe all of these things are a little bit unusual. Maybe that story is something that you've heard of, but you've never accepted it before. And you're not prepared. You've never considered taking a public stand for Christ because he's not your Savior yet. And up till this point, perhaps you've stood for yourself and you've done your best. Well, as I think about a baptism, I think not only about the greatest story and the greatest stand and the greatest of strengths, but you know what? Something would make this evening the very best evening of all if you had the greatest of starts. As I think of a baptism, do you know what I see? I see somebody going in, symbolizing going into death, but I see somebody coming out. And the Bible says that if someone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Their sinful past, the things that they had done, the things that barred them from heaven, the things that displeased God, Christ dealt with all of that. And whenever they've trusted him, they've had a new start. And so, this evening as we witness a baptism, I hope it sinks in for you that you could have a new start. You could come and start for heaven tonight. Will you come? Will you believe the greatest story? Will you rely upon the greatest strength? Will you be ready to take the greatest stand? Well, then you first of all need the greatest start. And what a start it would be. Claire had that start. I had that start almost 20 years ago when I believed that Christ died for my sins. And then several years later, I took the greatest stand when I was baptized. And through the years since, I've enjoyed the greatest of strengths. I know it would make Claire's evening, it would make the believer's evening, if you had that start. And if you made the Savior your Savior, well, how do you start? If you want this greatest start, starting for heaven and home, where do you start? Well, where did Paul's message start? Christ. Isn't that where his message started? Christ. And that's where you'll start. Christ died for our sins. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. If you want the Savior that Claire has, he's where you'll start. May you trust the Lord Jesus if you haven't yet already. May you take a stand for the Lord Jesus if you haven't yet already. And may you know his grace and favor, you who are being baptized, and you who have already been baptized. May we know the Lord's blessing this evening. And Claire, for you we are praying. Let us bow our heads and speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we give our thanks to thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. We thank thee that he was willing to take on flesh, to be born into this world, in order that he might be hung upon a cross and die for our sins. But we thank thee not only for his death, we thank thee that up from the grave he arose with a triumph over his foes. We thank thee for a Savior who lives and a Savior who looks after his own. And we pray for all who are saved this evening that we will live in the good of the grace and care and tender mercy of the Lord Jesus, our Shepherd and our Savior. We pray very especially for Claire and ask that thou wouldst bless her, that she would feel thy presence very near with her as she takes this step and takes this stand for thee. And help her in the days ahead. And we pray especially again for those not saved, that they would start this very evening with Christ as their Savior. We pray that Christ would be honored this evening as we commit our every need to thee in his lovely and his precious name. Amen.
Well, that was good. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank James for coming, speaking so well and so passionately on the subject of baptism and walking us through that wonderful story, the greatest story ever told. Now, we're going to sing hymn number 3 on our hymn sheet. Now, during the singing of this hymn, Claire is going to go out and change to get ready for baptism. I'm also, during the singing of the hymn, I'm going to bring down a screen behind us. And I'm going to point the camera to it so that everyone will be able to see, no matter where you're sitting. If you're in the corner of the hall and wondering that you can't see anything, hopefully everyone will be able to see when I do that. And then after that, Claire will be baptized. And as soon as she comes out of being baptized, we're going to sing Remain Seated for hymn number 4 as we sing that after the baptism. Now, I think we should stand. The singing has been so well. We haven't had such strong and loud singing in the hall for such a long time, and our audio system, you heard it complaining about it there, but that's a nice problem to have, really. So the singing has been good. Let's stand together if you're able, and we'll sing hymn number 3.
Lord my God,
like our beloved. Dear Margaret, on your confession of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire to obey the Lord's command in baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph for his soul. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, rise arose. Lord, thank you.
was jolly good singing. It's great to hear hymns well sung like that, and appreciate everybody putting their all into the singing. And it was a great night, and no doubt a night that will bring great joy to Clare, not just tonight, but in years to come. I think all who have been baptized look back to that night that they were baptized with joy. And it brings joy to the believers here in Newton Rita, and no doubt to the family. It's a great thing just to see a young person taking that stand and making progress and going on for the things of God. But we trust this evening that this service this evening and Clare's baptism, that it will have an impact on everybody. You know, for as has already been said, if you're here this evening, you're saved, you're not baptized, you know, tonight would be a great night just to resolve in your mind that you're going to take that stand and follow the example of Clare, but not more just the example, but follow the command of the Lord and obey the Saviour and be baptized. But if you're here this evening and you're not saved, James has very clearly brought the story of the gospel before us, tremendous. And tonight would be a good night if you were just to put your faith and your trust in the Saviour. Remember, without Christ, you cannot be in heaven. And we trust that all this evening will have put their faith and their trust in Christ. So it's my privilege this evening just to say a word of thanks to our brother James. Really appreciate James coming along this evening, taking the time to come and to present the message of the gospel and its significance in baptism this evening. Very helpful, and we really enjoyed listening to James. So thank you, James, for being here this evening. And we know that Clare appreciates, not often you can get your maths teacher to come and speak on baptism. To be honest, my maths teacher at Wellington was, sir shows me age, but he fought in the Second World War, and he certainly wouldn't have been speaking this evening. but we thank James for coming, and also like to say thank you to everybody this evening who has taken the time to come. We appreciate you coming here to witness the baptism, to support Clare, and we do thank you indeed for coming this evening. Now, I just want to make a few announcements, and then we're going to pray and give thanks for the food, but there is food provided, and we trust that everybody will be able to stay and have a bite to eat with us. It will be served at self-service, so when we're finished, the baptism tank will be closed up, the tables will be set, the food will be put out, and you just come and help yourselves. Now, there will be gluten-free food up at this end, so if you're looking for gluten-free, make sure you come to this end of the table when it's there. And then just to the announcements for the Lord's Day in this hall, the breaking of bread at 11, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3 p.m. and the prayer meeting 6:30 and the gospel at 7, and we actually expect our brother David McAllister tomorrow evening for the gospel. And then David will be with us Monday to Friday throughout the week for a week of ministry each night at 8 p.m. and his subject is 2 Thessalonians. So we're looking forward to David being with us this week. So if you're free, you're very, very welcome to come back and listen to David teaching the Word of God. And of course, all these announcements are made subject to the will of the Lord. Now, we're just going to commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer and give thanks for the food and bring the meeting to a close. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the worthy and precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we thank thee for the great privilege that has been ours this evening to witness this happy occasion where with Clare getting baptized and taking that stand in obedience to the command of the Saviour. Our Father, we thank thee for her salvation, and we thank thee, our Father, for her progress and her interest and her desire to obey the Saviour. And we just commend Clare to thee this evening as she lives for thee, that thou would be with her, that thou would bless her, and that she might know thy presence, and indeed, our Father, that she might be a witness and a testimony to many of that great story, the story of the gospel. And our Father, we thank thee this evening again for the story of the gospel. Our Father, it is a wonder to our souls just once again to consider that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. And our Father, we thank thee for each one who gathered in this hall this evening, who has come to a point in life when they appreciated that it is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Father, we thank thee for salvation. We are unworthy and feel our unworthiness. But our Father, we thank thee that thou hast saved us. And we pray, our Father, this evening for any that is gathered here this evening not saved. Our Father, we pray that they might realize their great need of Christ. We pray that they might come this evening, even now, and put their trust in the Saviour. And so, our Father, we pray for thy blessing upon each one. And pray, our Father, that thou would be with us this evening now and bless our time together. And our Father, we thank thee now for this food that has been provided. And acknowledge every good and perfect gift that comes from thyself. And our Father, we just pray thy blessing upon this food. And pray, our Father, that would bless our conversation together. And we just commend ourselves to thee now. And we ask it in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we're going to sing just while the tank is being closed and while the food is being set out. We're going to sing these two hymns at the back of your order of service, hymns 5 and 6. The first one, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. In the last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now we're going to remain seated while we sing these two hymns. We'll sing the two hymns just without any further announcements, leave you in the hands of Alan to start the singing, and I'll go and wet the tea. So thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.